My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Welcome in, Warriors Weekly Podcast. John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz here for 95.7 The Game. Warriors are up against it, down 3-1 to the Lakers. A thrilling and interesting game 4 in Los Angeles a couple of nights ago, but the Warriors back home and trying to survive game 5 to force a game 6 in this series. Steiny, just a lot to get into. The Warriors just don't have a lot of players playing well right now. Whether it's the veteran players alongside Steph Curry or the young players who have been deemed unplayable in this series and in the playoffs overall. But the Warriors find themselves missed opportunity game 4, the kind of missed opportunity that historically is the difference between winning and losing a series in game 4, I think you could say. But the Warriors still with a home game in their back pocket and only have to win one on the road to set themselves up for a possible game 7. I mean, how they're trying to maintain confidence, but just how are you feeling about the way game 4 played out and just what the Warriors have left on the table to try and change things a little bit for game 5? And for their sake, they're hoping it goes beyond that.
You know, one of the things I was thinking about is where they're at right now in their dynasty. And we're obviously at the end of it. And they're going to do either they're going to pull something miraculous off right now or they're not. So the more I think about it, when I look back at game 4, I think it's all you could ask if you're a Warrior fan. And what I mean by that is in the last 3 minutes of that game, with the game in the balance.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Klay Thompson had two opportunities and he took two really bad shots. Steph Curry had two good looks at, I think the first one was a pretty good look. The second one I thought was a bad shot. He missed it. Draymond Green, he had an opportunity to make a play on the inbounds. He turned the ball over. And then you could even question before that, when he got that offensive rebound, could he have, should he have put it right back up? So, there's obviously there's always a lot of talk about Poole and everybody else. But to me, you're three Hall of Famers. You know, it wasn't like, game one when Jordan Poole took two tough shots in the last 45 seconds and everyone's saying, was it a good shot? Was it a bad shot? Do you want Poole taking it? Do you not want Poole taking it? Hey, your three big boys all had their chance. And so, that's kind of all you can ask. I was telling Guru this. You can't go down or you can't go out without those three guys playing 40 minutes. Whatever this last game's gonna be, you cannot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They've earned the opportunity to get beat on their terms. In other words.
And they've already, I think, been in that mode. Really, yeah. Even going back to the end of the Sacramento series where they were able to get the lead and then it ended up tied and then they win game 7. But I think you're right. I think you could even, and I know Andrew Wiggins is not in the category of the three Hall of Famers, but he had some good looks throughout the game. I mean, that's the one thing I think the Warriors can take away from the first 4 games that they can try to apply to making a run here in the back end of the series is they have in 3 of the 4 games done what they've needed to do to give themselves a shot to win, right? And I think they can even make a case they did in game 3, although that game turned into a blowout because things got so bad at the end of the second quarter. I mean, that's where it still is fragile. The Warriors were walking that tightrope in game 4. But I think they can say, hey, game 1 was close. Game 4 was close. They did a lot of things in the first quarter and a half, let's say, of game 3. You know, if you can do those things and hit some more shots and not shoot yourself in the foot, then maybe you got a little bit of action here still, assuming that you can win game 5. And I just want to go back to the Jordan Poole part of it because, look, he's had a bad playoff. He stunk in this series after game 1, really from the moment he took the bad shot, if you want to call it a bad shot, at the end of game 1 that missed. But Steve Kerr went away from him. Steve Kerr yanked him and didn't play him. And he only played 10 minutes. And he didn't play at all in the fourth quarter. And you scored 17 points. And you couldn't execute or you couldn't finish plays that you did execute. And so, yeah, we can talk about Jordan Poole as not being good enough to contribute in this series. And that's a part of it. But it's also, he wasn't a factor in the fourth quarter. Like, he didn't kill him in that fourth quarter. It was it was the main guys. No. And so that's one part of that game. The other part of the end of that game is, and you know, we've seen the Warriors do this over the years, Steiny. They make other teams have fewer playable players as playoff series go on. And you got to the end of game four, and Steve Kerr trusted six, basically. It was Steph, Clay, Wiggins, Draymond, Payton, and then Moses Moody. When Payton turned down an open three early in the fourth quarter, Kerr went to Moody, and you know, there is some irony in that now Moody's somebody that's trusted after not being able to play a lot all year, but the Warriors have six they trust, and half of those six aren't even making shots right now. But it's all they got.
No, exactly. I mean, it's exactly right. And that's kind of the conundrum with Poole is you can't have it both ways. If you're super critical – listen, Poole's been terrible, but I don't think you have the option of not playing him. Because, you know, you just put two things together and then it's like, you know, they scored 17 points in the fourth quarter. Jordan Poole didn't play in the fourth quarter. So, like, you can't blame him. You can get mad at him because he stunk so bad you couldn't play him in the fourth, but you can't blame him for the fourth quarter. Like, you can't have it both ways. You can't say he killed us, but he's got to play in the fourth. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You can't if he wasn't in the game. The one thing that I think is interesting, and I you've been saying this, and I've just been nodding my head, yeah, because it makes sense. But then I think more about it. The idea of the Warriors being patient, you know, taking a little longer to get a good shot instead of an average shot. The issue with that though is the more patient they are in a way, the more susceptible they are to turning the ball over. Because I really do think that there's just the Lakers have an ability to smother them a little bit if they're not really sharp in terms of their execution. And, you know, sometimes, you know, in the great days when Clay, you make one pass and Clay makes a three, well, it's like you can have the greatest defense in the world, but you don't get to utilize it really because of the great shooting of the Warriors. Well, if those shots aren't going down by the Warriors, now they got to be more, you know, precise. But, you know, the Lakers are younger. The Lakers are a better, significantly better defensive team than the Kings. So they're going to make it harder over the course of a possession. So I was just thinking about that. And, you know, of course you're right. But it does make them a little more susceptible to maybe not getting a good shot or turning the ball over.
I think that's possible, but again, I still think it comes back to what's your best chance.
I mean, you have to do it. You're right.
You can't
just be jacking threes.
And I think to me, it's something that I keep bringing up because I think it's been among the biggest problems, you know, for this team this season is the fact that and this is part of, hey, they're defending champions and there's a bunch of Hall of Famers, you know, everywhere with the big three. It's the inability for the Warriors collectively this season to just look in the mirror. And I think Klay Thompson exemplifies this, the inability to look in the mirror and say, I'm not quite as good. We're not quite as good. We still can be good enough, but we're going to have to do it a little bit differently. We're going to have to do it with a little bit more discipline and a little bit more composure. And it may take a little bit more out of us. And we may not have enough left in the tank at the end of the line because of it. But it's the only shot we've got in an attempt to try and make it happen. And I think they really struggled with that in the Kings series. They just seemed hell-bent and defiant on doing it their way. And every time they did it their way, they ran themselves right up to the brink of getting beat. And right when they got to that brink of getting beat, they would change. And in the Kings series, they were good enough and the Kings may be inexperienced enough to where the Warriors were able to prevail in a bunch of big moments in game five, game seven, wasn't always pretty. To me, it does have to be that same template against the Lakers, even though the Lakers are a better team and certainly a better team defensively. But I just keep going back to how did the Warriors get in this position that they're in and how do they get out of it? And I think a big part of the reason why they're in the position they're in has been just all year they've refused, whether it was early games on the road against a bunch of bad teams or, you know, or once they got healthy, like they just, they can't accept the fact that they can't do it the way that they've always done it. And that that's going to be good enough, and that they're still talented enough to take bad shots, but you know what? They're going to hit enough of them, or to make that risky pass. But you know what? It's going to lead to other opportunities in the flow of the game that are going to help. They just can't quite find that discipline. And, you know, maybe I'm a fool for asking them to even try it, but I see enough talent, believe it or not, still to win this series if they can do that more consistently for three games.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past them, but it's so funny.
But like, they're not going to, let's be honest, they're not, they might do it a little bit more, but the reality is if they come back and win the series, there's going to be a game, probably game six, where they just make a bunch of bad shots and that's why they win the game, right? Like, I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, no, the other thing though is, you know, you look at, you know, there's like, sometimes I feel the fan base has a defiance to acknowledging that, you know, these guys are getting a little bit older. You know, you look at that game last night, or yeah, two nights ago, whatever it was, that Steph was 3-for-14 from three, and Clay was what, 3-for-9? 2-for-9?
Yeah.
Something
three,
like
three
that.
3-for-9.
So they lost that game by 3 points. Like, sometimes it's as simple as, you think they're going 7-for-24 3 or 4 years ago? They're not.
No.
They're going 10-for-24.
I mean,
that doesn't sound like a lot, but it's 9 points, you win the game.
4 years ago, forget about Durant. 4 years ago, this series would probably be 3-1 Warriors.
Yeah, I would think. They won games late. They always won games late.
They would have come back from down 14 with 6 minutes to go in game one, like they did, and won. And then they would have blown them out in game two.
Right.
And it would have been like, oh, they really administered a gut punch to the Lakers, who missed their shot. They missed their shot to win game one when they were up 14. And then you go to game three, and I mean, I could see game three playing out the way that it did. Warriors playing well, Lakers kind of come back, things, they lose their composure, but it's 2-1. You're up at that point.
Right.
And then you come back and you do what you did in game four, only you win that game. I mean, they would have won that game by 12 probably in, you know, three, 4 years ago. They would have won that game comfortably.
Well,
and then they'd be coming back home to try to close them out.
And that's where, you know, if this is where the Warriors get the benefit of the doubt. You know, if the Warriors were a normal six seed, forget whatever the Lakers are, you know, and they got to win this series. If the shoe were on the other foot, we would be saying after game one, they're done. That was the, you can't, they're not good enough to give up a game. You know, and I don't know if I told you this, but actually game one in a way reminded me a little bit of the Cleveland game when J.R. Smith in the finals lost track of the time. And they played great in game one. LeBron, I think, at 50. They lost that game. And at the end of the game, I'm thinking, this series is now over because the Cavaliers have to be perfect in four games or really, really good. And they were that game, but they botched it at the end. So I always look at it this way. Well, now they got to win five games as almost an underdog. And so when I look at the Warriors, if they're any other team than the defending champion four times, I'm thinking, well, they kicked away game one. They had a chance. So they're already in big trouble. Then they had a chance in game four, and some guy named Lonnie Walker beat them. You know, the Lonnie Walker game against the Warriors is the kind of game that they used to put on somebody out of nowhere.
Yeah, Quinn
time
Cook.
And time
hey,
again.
Quinn Cook had 15 in the fourth quarter. Exactly.
Yeah. And so now two games have gone against them like that. And if they're not better than the Lakers, and I'm not sure they are, well, they're not going to win the series.
Yeah,
they're going to lose in the next two games.
And if they're not better, I do think that the gap is a little closer than maybe it sounds like you're saying. Like,
I
think it's very
Absolutely.
Close. I think the Lakers, you can see where they're a little younger. You can obviously see where their size has been impactful in the series. Defensively, they are a really good team. I think, you know, offensively, though, the Lakers, even though the Warriors, I think, have locked them up at times, the one thing I will say is the Lakers have still gotten, you know, they haven't made shots, but I feel like they've gotten easier shots. Like the Warriors misses, you know, you can say they're open, and I think a lot of them are open, and the Warriors hit a lot of them in prior years maybe, but it feels like, and you know this from watching playoff series, there's always in an individual game or sometimes in a whole series, you know, one team just, it feels like every shot is just hard and you're just, and you're just hoping it goes in, but you know, it's not right when it goes up. And then there's another team that even when they're missing, they're just kind of getting what they want. And so, you know, over the long haul, they're going to hit more because they're just getting better shots in the flow of what they do. And I do feel like top to bottom through four games, the Lakers have had that advantage just collectively. Like overall, it's like, that's why the Lakers keep going on these runs when the Warriors get them down 8 or 10.
The most surprising aspect of this series in terms of that kind of thing is I've been blown away by the Lakers' ability to erase an 8 or 9 point lead in the snap of a finger.
Well, and guess who else did that to them? Sacramento.
They did.
And,
you're right.
And again,
all these things that are getting done to them, they used to do to other teams. You know, they used to be, oh, we're up 11 on the Warriors. Hey, we got something. Boom. What are you talking about? You got something. We're tied. We're tied 3 minutes later because Curry just made two threes and Draymond hit Wiggins for a dunk. And you know what I mean? But it's just an uphill battle like we've never seen this team have to deal with before. JD, they're 5-6 in the postseason.
No doubt. And I mean, I had the joke, and I said this to a few people. I said it on a couple of my shows. I can't remember if I said it to you and Guru, but the joke was, you know, the Warriors were 44-38. You know, you only got to be 16-12 to win a title.
Right.
And I was kind of kidding, but it's also true. And I don't think anybody's ever done that. I think I want to say maybe 16-10 is probably the 16-11, maybe 16-10 is the worst record to win a title in the playoffs. But if any team was going to do that this year and win the title, like if any team was ever going to do it, it might be this year's Warriors that would be able to hit the 16-12.
Right.
Obviously, they're going to have to win in seven again if they come back and win this series. What did you make of Draymond Green basically saying, hey, if Lonnie Walker beats you, you tip your cap? The whole Lonnie Walker part of game four, I mean, he's always been an interesting player. Like he's always, and I know you're very familiar with him. We've talked about him at different times. Like he's always been somebody that's been able to kind of get his own shot, but he's also been somebody that's found himself buried on the bench for a good chunk of his career. I don't want to get into too deep on that necessarily, but just the whole, like how he ended up in the game, and not only in the game, but you got LeBron and Anthony Davis and, you know, D'Angelo Russell was bad. He basically took D'Angelo Russell's rotation spot. But you had Lonnie Walker out there kind of doing, looking to score in the fourth quarter. It was just – it was odd. It made me think, and I didn't hear a lot of the backstory from doing the postgame show, but it almost made me think without knowing, like, is he somebody that the Lakers found as this series goes on that could play, or was he somebody they kept in their back pocket that they thought – could attack the Warriors maybe in some key moments in an area where they were vulnerable?
That's a great question. I mean, it's a great question. I mean, I was talking to some people before the series, and I was like, you know what? Like, I was just looking at the athleticism part of this series, and I didn't think that the Lakers, like, their starting five is very athletic. You know, Reeves has some athleticism. D'Angelo Russell, you know. LeBron and AD are not overly athletic anymore. And I was like, you know, Lonnie Walker is very athletic. You know, he's kind of like a young Wiggins in a way, but in a way he's less aggressive than Wiggins used to be, except for when he's not. Like the game, like the thing about him is, you know, he played in the third quarter and he didn't take a shot.
Right.
And
does he end up out there with LeBron and Anthony Davis, and he's like the number one option?
Because I'll tell you why. Maybe it wasn't calculated before the series, but I think Ham said, "I need energy. I need You know, and to me, what I saw was I saw Jonathan Kuminga in a way, you know, and I get it. Walker's a little older. He's 23, but Walker didn't do much in the first series. Walker kind of got relegated after the trades in the midseason. He fell off out of the rotation. But I do know enough about him to know that he is unbelievably mature. He's kind of like Moses Moody in a way. And he got an opportunity. And I really think he's been around long enough to say, these guys are tired. The game I'm watching, these guys are tired. And I can get my shot off right now whenever I want, because the guy who's guarding me is tired and smaller, and B, they're just not rotating like they, you know what I mean? And yeah. All of a sudden he just found himself being able to get high quality shots with them really not having to grind out their offense.
And Draymond, you know, again, he said, if Lonnie Walker beats you, you tip your cap, but it was almost as if the Warriors in the moment, they kind of didn't realize, like, they weren't planning for Lonnie Walker to be somebody right. They were going to have to try to throw cold water on in a fourth quarter.
Exactly.
So it stunned them in a way that they're like, okay, we're just going to ride with this. Like, we're not going to do anything special to try to, you know, especially because it, you know, maybe it opens something up for LeBron, or maybe it opens something up for Davis. And so I kind of get where Draymond was coming from there, although there were a lot of people on the post game show that were like, you got to get Peyton back in the game to cool off Lonnie Walker. And I'm thinking, I'm thinking you do. It's not Jimmy freaking Butler.
Right.
You know, like,
that's the other aspect that's a killer for the Warriors. It's not like Lonnie Walker was Austin Reeves, and the ball found him behind the 3-point line six times and he made four of them. No, he took over their offense.
Yeah.
And so I think what happened, I think it kind of snuck up on the Warriors. Walker hits a shot, and you're like, well, that's a tough shot. Walker hits another shot. It's like, geez, I mean, Steph's, then he makes a little drive, and now you're like,
yeah.
Are we really going to change everything to shut this guy down right now? Like,
no
it's
doubt.
Not that easy. You know, it really isn't. So, and again, it's the kind of game where, oh, boy. That's, you know, and you can, like, and this is where I read probably more into stuff than other people do, but just watching LeBron and Anthony Davis after that game, how they dealt with Walker, and how you could tell it's LeBron. LeBron's played 280 playoff games, 280. I don't know if I can even say that.
Yeah, sure.
But what I'm getting at is he knew that game. That game Wednesday or that game to Monday was like, that was the game.
No
That's
doubt.
The game that's going to win him the series. Well, that's what he thinks.
Yeah. You and said so game tough. One. Yeah. You said game one. I think in game one, you're probably going to have to win a road game. They got down 14. Like, to me, game one happens. Like, game one's not. And yeah, you could say the Warriors had a shot. You know, getting down 14 is probably the bigger problem there than being unable to finish it once you come back. But to me, game four was the game not on a platter, but that was the game where if you get it to that point, regardless of how you get it to that point, you got to win it, to me, if you're the Warriors. Like, game four to me is the one where we look back and go, well, that's the difference in the series. Because I think game six, again, I know they got to win game five. But I think game six is going to be harder for the Warriors to win down there than game four was. And so, you know, they may play better, but it's going to be harder for them to win that game. A couple other things here, just real quick, as far as, you know, Warriors stop running. Like, what can the Warriors do? They stop running pick and roll. You know, that was a big topic off of game four. The Warriors ran pick and roll. It was Peyton in the pick and roll. They were getting Davis out. Davis switched on to Wiggins. They changed some things up in their coverage. Warriors, I think it was 25 times they ran it in the first half, six or seven in the second half. I think the Lakers tried to take it away. I think you could make the case the Warriors they adjusted, but they just took some bad shots and or didn't make the open ones that they had. Like, I still think there's this revisionist history of they should have done something different, when the truth is they just didn't make shots. So, you know, what what do they do moving forward? I think the rotation stuff is interesting moving forward because, I mean, clearly they know that Peyton can play, Moody can play. I think they're fine playing Looney 10 minutes. I think Jamichael Green's done. They still need Poole. Yep. I mean, Poole's going to have to play, and then you see if he's good or not that night. I think DiVincenzo's going to have to play. You need to see if he's good or not that night. And then you're almost, if you're Steve Kerr, you go into the game with the thought of your first half rotation. But then you got to – unfortunately, guys have been so erratic and inconsistent that you almost have to just see, all right, well, who's having a good night tonight and who's not having a good night tonight? And whoever the best five are, you know, as we get into the third, fourth quarter, that's going to be the five that are going to play. And it may only be five or six that I can even trust at the end of the game as it was. But they don't really – they don't really have any other choice.
And that's why I think they're in trouble. And I know that's not hard to say. They're down 3-1, but I think that's where they're in trouble. I mean, I hate to do it, but you know, Clay and even Steph and Trey, they're older. So if you're going to ask them to play so many minutes because they have no support, I don't know that they're going to be able to have it in them the last 5 minutes. You know, that there's a reason why you can't make those tough threes. It's because they're just tougher than they used to be, and they're harder and they're longer, and the defense is just a little bit better. So, I mean, you know, you could boil this down to a lot of things. I mean, late game execution. I mean, when do we kind of just look ourselves in the mirror and say, if it's a tight game, the Warriors are at a disadvantage.
I mean,
we always talk championship pedigree. They come through. That has not been the case all year long, really.
No.
So
it hasn't. And you know, the other thing that I started thinking, and look, I do think the Warriors have a path to win this series. I mean, it is as simple as you just win game five, however you have to do it, whether the Lakers aren't as into it or, and again, that goes both ways. I get it. You know, the Warriors or the Lakers at any point can set their sights on game six, and only they know what they really truly are going to bring into game five. I think some of that depends on how do the Warriors look early. But you win game five if you're the Warriors, not easy. But then it really, to me, all comes down to game six. And we were disagreeing a little bit last night going back and forth. I'm not saying it's an automatic that if the Warriors go down there and win game six, they win game seven. But I do kind of feel like game six is the series. Like I don't get caught up in the whole three in a row component of it. Like I do think the Warriors can win three in a row against the Lakers. Like I don't, because the games have been close enough, the talent level I think is even enough. Maybe the Lakers start to look a little more tired toward the end if things start to go against them. But to me, it's win game five, then it's all on game six, because that I still think is going to be the hardest game for the Warriors to win of the three. And then if you get to game seven, I think at that point you're feeling like you've got enough momentum to where, all right, it's game seven. You're going to be at home. The crowd's going to be jacked. There's really going to feel like you have the opportunity to do something truly special at that point.
And there's two issues, though, and we should wrap it up here. There's two issues. One is I'm not giving them game five. And the reason I'm not giving them game five, I'm talking about the Warriors, is because they haven't shown that they're incapable of just coming apart in a game like tonight, where everything from the season that we know has happened just foments. And you know what? They get beat 110-93, and everyone says, what in the hell? And it's over.
Because that's possible.
The other thing is, I got to believe if I'm Darvin Ham, I'm saying, hey, D'Lo, hey, Lonnie Walker. Hey, Hachimura. Go try to knock the Warriors off tonight. I'm not saying LeBron and Anthony Davis don't play, but you can put the onus on the young players for the Lakers, knowing it's not a must win, almost to tire the Warriors out. Or just use up the Warriors for us in game five instead of LeBron and Anthony Davis having to wear out in a game that it's not a must win anyway. So like the Lakers can be very strategic about this game, but the Warriors got to be very careful.
No doubt. And I think you're spot on with that. And look, every time the Warriors have gone through some tough times this year, there's been that feeling, and it was definitely palpable after game four, like they're about to just come apart at the seams. So the Warriors are going to have to overcome that, for I sure. think, in game five and play well enough to win. And then at that point, I do think the pressure shifts back to the Lakers as their best shot to close out the series becomes game six. All right, it's going to be a lot of fun for Steiny. Good stuff, my man. We'll do this again here in a couple of days, win or lose. And yep. Game five coming up. So it's John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz, our Warriors Weekly podcast for 95.7 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.